777 Bush Street, 3rd floor, San Francisco, California, Monday, May 11th, 1953, 10:30 in the morning. She walked through the door of my private office like she was gliding on air. Her curves were definitely in all the right places. The dress she wore made sure I knew it. She removed the veil from her face and pinned it back on her hat, which was perched precariously on her upswept hair. She sat down and leaned in, making sure I could see all the way down her ample cleavage. As she sat there, I asked, "Would you like a cigarette?" She smiled and nodded. I offered her one and she took it. I leaned over and lit it for her. She pulled on it like she was finally getting a drink of water after a forced march in the desert. When she exhaled, she smiled at me and asked, "You work alone?" I nodded. "How can I help?" She looked down demurely as if there was one very specific way I could help. I waited. Finally, she looked up and said, "It's over between me and Johnny, and I need some proof." I took out a pad and pencil and began to make some notes. We went through the usual questions: her name, his name, how long they'd been married, her address, the hotel she thought he had been habituating of late, and, most importantly, the name of the other woman. "Oh, but Mr. Williams, it ain't some dame. It's a guy." She spit out the last words like she'd just bit down on a sour pickle and couldn't wait to be rid of it. I looked up and said, "Yeah." She nodded. "If I'd known Johnny was a fairy when I married him." She looked up and shrugged. "What? What would you have done?" I asked, keeping my voice level. "You know. I would have told my pops, and he would have had some of the guys down at his bar do a number on Johnny and let him know what's what." I stood up and put on my coat. She made an O with her mouth. I guess that was her way of expressing shock or maybe astonishment. "Wait, how much do I owe you?" "Not a thin dime, miss." "Really? You work for free?" "Oh, no," I said as I put on my hat and extended my hand to help her stand up. "I don't work for free." "I'm confused." "No, you're not. You're just angry. You thought he loved you, but you knew all along he wasn't the right man. Why did you even marry him?" Now she was angry. She refused my hand and stayed planted in the chair. I had to get out of Pop's house, didn't I? "Well, they have wonderful residential hotels for women these days, or so I'm told. You get 3 squares, a comfortable bed, and a bath down the hall, all at an affordable price. Daily, weekly, or monthly rates offered." She giggled. "You're funny." "No, miss. What I am is a homosexual, and I don't work for clients who aren't polite and can't even talk about their soon-to-be ex-husbands without calling them words like fairy or fruit." She stood up haughtily. "I should have known you was one of them. There ought to be a law." "There is one in most states of our great nation. Now, can I walk you to the elevator while I give you a couple of names to call on? These are gentlemen who will be happy to help you. And they won't care what you call your husband as long as you pay up front and cover their daily incidentals." She stopped at the door and turned on me. "So what you're saying is that since I called Johnny a fairy, you ain't gonna help me?"
"That's right, miss."
"Well, I never."
"Well, now you have."
We walked into the front office. I saw Marnie shaking her head as I opened the door. I walked her down the dark, little hallway to the ancient, creaky elevator and gave her the names of some of the cheaper but still good enough private detectives I knew who would gladly help her out. As the door closed, I lifted my hat and heard her giggle. I walked back to my office and looked at the letters that had been recently painted on the frosted glass. Nicholas Williams, private detective, licensed and bonded, PR 7777, 10 a.m., to 4:30 p.m., and by appointment. I sighed and thought about all the money I'd spent to get this office, hire Marnie, get that particular phone number, and even have the glass painted. Not that it really mattered. I didn't need to work. I had what my friend and attorney Jeffrey Klein called, quote, "an unbreakable trust," end quote.